The Supreme Court ruled last year that parents could use government money in the form of vouchers to send their children to religious schools. But then, parents in many states learned that their state constitutions prohibit giving taxpayer money to religious institutions. So now, voucher supporters are trying to overturn those bans. NPR's Barbara Bradley Haggerty reports from Vermont.
When the experimental math program came to Middletown Springs Elementary School, Barbara and Anthony Janier grew concerned. Middletown Springs, population 823, has only one public elementary school. And so they had nowhere to turn as they watched their older daughter, Lindsay, failing to master the basics of math. Barbara Janier.
And we noticed that when she was in the fourth grade, she could not subtract. She didn't know how to borrow from another number. And at that point, I took Lindsay out of school, and that's when we started homeschooling, because the affordability of the other schools was way beyond our means.
When Lindsay reached the seventh grade, she became eligible for Vermont's voucher system. A lot of towns in Vermont are like Middletown Springs, too small to provide high school or even middle school. Under Vermont law, parents in those towns may send their children to another school, and the town pays for it. The Janiers selected a Catholic school, Christ the King, in Rutland, Vermont, even though the family is not Catholic. Barbara Janier says she likes the values, the academic rigor, the discipline.
The kids are seated at their desks. You notice them raising their hands. They're not speaking out of turn. They're not all over the hallways.
They follow a code of conduct, which Lindsay and her 10-year-old sister Emily are eager to explain.
It spells conduct.
C, cooperation. O, on task always. N, nice to all. D, do my best. U, utmost respect. C, caring attitude. And T, tone of voice.
Everybody is sitting down quiet, please.
By 8 in the morning, the children in Emily's fifth grade class, wearing their crisp burgundy and white uniforms, are settling into their day of reading, science, math, seasoned with Catholicism. The school is unabashedly religious. The rooms are decorated with a cross or images of Mary, the mother of Jesus. The children sing hymns, and every day begins with a prayer over the loudspeaker, led by the principal.
You, Lord, are my shepherd. I will never be in need. You let me rest in fields of green grass. Response?
You lead me to streams of peaceful water.
Now, the non-Catholic parents may not mind the religious training, but the state does, at least when it comes to tuition. Remember, if a child has no nearby public school to attend, then Vermont will pay the tuition for him or her to go elsewhere, up to about $7,000. The principal, Rose Maria Doran, notes that parents can send their kids to any public school, to a private school, out of state, even to a ski academy, anywhere but a religious school.
I understand that we need skiers. I'm not complaining about that. But if we're all considered private schools, and that's the category that we're under, private, then why can't this private school get its share of tax credit?
And therein lies a federal lawsuit. With the help of the conservative public interest law firm, Institute for Justice, the Janiers and other parents who send their children to a nearby Catholic high school are suing the state for violating their constitutional rights. They say Vermont is curbing their free exercise of religion. They say the policy infringes on their free speech rights, since the state will finance schools where secular ideas are taught, but not religious ones. And they say that the state helps some taxpayers send their children to schools of their choice, but it won't help those who choose a religious school. But Mitchell Pearl, a lawyer working with the Vermont ACLU, says the state isn't stopping any parents from doing what they like.
A lot of people say, look, we have no problem with you worshiping as you like, believing as you like, or educating your children as you like, but the taxpayers shouldn't pay for it.
These arguments persuaded the Vermont Supreme Court to rule against parents and for the state in a similar lawsuit 4 years ago. But now the Institute for Justice is back in Vermont, this time in federal court. Indeed, the Institute has been involved in a number of similar lawsuits across the country, in Colorado, Maine, Florida, and Washington State. And there are probably more to come. 47 states have language that can bar state money from going to religious institutions. Some states, like Vermont, have the prohibition directly in their state constitutions. Other states, just about all of those west of the Mississippi, have Blaine Amendments, named after the failed federal amendment introduced by Senator James Blaine in 1875. The intent of these amendments was to make the chiefly Catholic immigrant population blend into America's largely Protestant society, so public money was spent to support non-denominational Protestant schools.
But not those Catholics. They can't have money for those schools.
Libby Sternberg is head of Vermonters for Better Education.
It was not some great debate over separation of church and state. It had to do with making sure that that immigrant population that was predominantly Catholic did not influence the culture that already existed.
According to Ira Lupu at the Pew Charitable Trust Foundation's Roundtable on Religion and Social Welfare Policy, that anti-Catholic sentiment informed decisions by the U.S. Supreme Court late into the 20th century, especially in the early 1970s.
Most of the cases involved aid to sectarian schools. They were from the Northeast. They involved Catholic schools. And there was still the residue or the legacy of wars between Protestants and Catholics, anti-Catholic sentiment. Now, things have changed in the last 30 years.
Things like the proliferation of Protestant, Jewish, and Muslim schools, a more conservative U.S. Supreme Court, and the aggressive legal tactics of evangelical Christians. Lupu says these groups gradually nudged the Supreme Court to reconsider how high the wall of separation should be. The court moved from its position that government should not be at all involved with religion to one of neutrality toward religion, that is, treating religious institutions no better or worse than secular ones. That's why the Christian Good News Club can use a public school classroom to meet after hours, just as a rock climbing club can. This led to last year's decision, Zelman v. Simmons-Harris. In that case, the High Court ruled that government money may go indirectly to parochial schools through vouchers without offending the First Amendment. Dick Comer at the Institute for Justice says Zelman was a huge victory because it took away half of Vermont's arguments.
The other side always had two strings to their bow. Their first string was the state religion clauses, which they still have, and they had the federal string, the federal establishment clause. That string is now gone.
But attorney Mitchell Pearl says the Zelman decision means only one thing, that a state can, if it chooses, indirectly support religious institutions.
And the key word there is can. How much can government support religion? There's a huge crevasse between Zelman and this case, because in this case, it is not government trying to aid religion, but rather the plaintiffs who are coming into court and saying that the government must do so.
Now that decision is up to a federal court, unless the U.S. Supreme Court acts first. Last week, the High Court agreed to review a case from Washington State brought by a college student whose scholarship was revoked because he wanted to major in theology, a decision that could decide this issue once and for all. Barbara Bradley Haggerty, NPR News, Rutland, Vermont.